This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Pay no interest and make no payments for an entire year during their Beat the Heat savings event.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons back at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. It's 3 o'clock. No Ted Johnson today, no Fitzy, but no problem. Still time for the three-point stance with Dan Ball, Andy Hart, and Brian Ferzocco or Stiz filling in.
Green 19!
Ready!
Green 19! Green 19,
Chet Hunt!
Yeah, there you go!
What's that?
What's that?
Chet
Hunt! It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three! Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Foster now! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three. And it is gone. A three-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
It may be time to update that. I feel like you deserve a Jaylen Brown three.
Yes.
I know there's another one that you wanted me to fix. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, let's update that.
Okay.
A better count.
Perfect. Okay, there we go. I needed more stuff to do anyways. Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or Jared Karabas wants to fight you at Fenway, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. Three individuals giving their biggest stories on the world of sports today. Our order for today's three-point stance is Andy Hart and myself. Dan Baldwin, my man Stiz, jumping in. Andy, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
Damn right.
All right, your 60 seconds begin right now.
Okay, so over the weekend, word broke that Steve Pagliuca was looking to buy the Connecticut Sun, the team that played very recently at the Garden. Obviously, we know Pags tried to get the Celtics, was sort of strong-armed out of that, but he still wants to have a team to play in the building. So he's willing to pay $325 million for the Sun and move them to Boston out of Uncasville, I guess it is down there. And yet there seems to be this weird, gotta wait to see if the WNBA will allow it and approve it. What the hell are they waiting for? You're trying to screw up Caitlin Clark. Now the Boston Celtics essentially want to buy the Sun, move them to the greatest sports city on the planet, play at the Boston Garden, the TD Garden, deck it out, elevate the league, bring in money, and oh, by the way, pay $325 million to do it. Robert Kraft bought the Patriots for $172 million in the 90s, and that was an NFL franchise. And don't tell me it was the 90s. We knew the NFL was blowing up. WNBA, you should not only sign, seal, and deliver this, you should all like rent a van, drive the team up, and say thank you very much for the $325 million. Oh, by the way, the last team that sold in the WNBA, $10 million. It's now selling for $325 million. So how about we just sign off on this and get the league moving forward? Stop screw. What the hell are you doing?
That I don't know. I can't believe that there would be any kind of red tape in getting this done. And it makes so much sense for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Boston's the only big metro I can think of that has an NBA team, but not a WNBA team to match. So it brings in a whole new group of fans. It certainly helps the Sun franchise. If you're connected to an NBA team from a financial standpoint, that's great. And if Pags and this new ownership group have any kind of designs on creating a new venue, which was something that did come out of the discussions after he bought the team, well, now you have two tenants, and neither of which are paying rent, so it automatically gives more juice to, hey, maybe it is worth breaking ground on a new spot. So I see no issues, and especially for the league. I mean, a Boston, whatever. What did you, I can't remember what you called them, the Shamrock?
Shamrock. We already gave you your name, the Boston Shamrock.
Right.
Or Shamrocks. I don't know if that's one of those singular plurals, but whatever. We're close. We can already see the logo. It's a four-leaf clover.
Actually, yeah, there's a sneaky amount of singular Sun, Liberty. Yeah. Anyways, whatever you want to call them. I love every bit of this.
And as I said, like the Caitlin Clark thing that we continue to wonder, is she kind of a dink? Does she bring it upon herself? What's her deal with other players? Is it hazing? Is it cattiness? I believe Stiz brought up
that. Right.
Like, this is business. This isn't cattiness or personal or anything. This is business. They want to take, as you mentioned, if you look in the standings, NBA, and cross-reference them with WNBA, the big ones are all represented.
Absolutely.
Right? Except Boston,
yeah,
which is arguably the greatest basketball city on the planet. The Celtics, the history, the legends, the banners, the whole thing.
There's an LA, a New York, a Chicago. All the legacy NBA franchises have one to match on the
deck. And now somebody has $325 million on the table.
Just laying around.
Which looks great for your league.
Absolutely.
Like, everybody mocks the WNBA. They've never made a profit. Would you rather go to a game or I give you $20? Or whatever all those like Twitter things are.
It was a dollar.
Okay, a dollar. This legitimizes the WNBA as another step forward as they pick up on this momentum that is legitimate.
Right.
It's coming from Caitlin Clark and other sources, Angel Reese, different stars, whatever. I don't know why you would even hesitate to approve this, move this, make it happen.
No, I'm the Connecticut guy on the show, so I love that they had a WNBA franchise. Connecticut's a huge basketball state, but when you're playing in Uncasville, connected to a casino in an arena that's, I don't know, maybe 10,000 seats, probably less. I'd probably put it.
I saw
more
Disney
like
on ice there.
Yeah. Oh, did you really?
Yeah. Okay. Different thing, totally.
Slightly different product, but yeah, it limits the potential. It limits how much I can legitimize you if you're playing again out of a casino in front of whatever. If you're in Boston in a major sports market, getting major promotions on a major network, whether they sign with NESN or NBC Sports Boston, a radio station, whatever else, it further adds to the potential of the franchise, which, to your point, further adds to the growth of the league.
Cross promotion.
Yeah.
I mean, WNBA and the NBA are interwoven throughout history. I mean, they're basically subsidized by them. So the promotion you could have with Jason Tatum and the Celtics, like the whole thing just makes. Jaylen Brown was there, right? Whatever that was, a week ago, a couple weeks ago, when the game took, it was more than that now, I guess. But Jaylen Brown was in attendance. And they were all talking up the idea. Sophie Cunningham or others were talking about, that's pretty cool that Jaylen Brown, Aaliyah Boston, they are talking about Jaylen Brown's in the crowd. So,
and to answer the question of, well, where do they play? I don't know that answer.
Court.
I don't think
big games at the Garden.
Yeah, there you go. When the Indiana Fever are in town, when maybe like Ionescu and the New York team are in town, you play them at the Garden. If not, As I think we brought up a couple of weeks ago, there are a million different places that you could play. Put them at Agganis. Put them up at UMass Lowell. There are plenty of different places within the greater Boston area where you can put a court down and have them play. And there'll be packed crowds. Even your smaller level games will still have great crowds, great atmosphere. And so I do not see a reason why people wouldn't like it.
All right, Danny Boy, you're up.
Okay, Stiz, may I have 60 seconds, please?
Your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right, so last week we kind of brought up the fact that Bryce Harper and MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred got into a bit of a spat when it came to a salary cap in Major League Baseball.
Mm.
It is of my opinion that I think Major League Baseball is looking in the wrong direction when they're trying to fix their finances in the league. Right now there are three teams that have over $200 million on their current active roster. It would be four if Aaron Judge wasn't hurt, but he is. So meanwhile, there are 15 teams that are under $100 million currently active on their payroll. It was at 11 before the deadline, and now it's 15. And out of those teams, only one is currently in the playoffs, and that's Milwaukee. Everybody else is multiple games behind in the wild card race. Baseball needs to be implementing not a salary cap, but a salary floor. These teams are getting the competitive balance revenue. They're getting money from the teams that are spending too much. It needs to be implemented back onto the roster to make the league better and have more teams that are trying to win.
I love the idea.
Okay.
I think the owners immediately say, well, if we get a floor, we get a ceiling. Like, that's how houses are built.
Yes.
Many, you know, what's that guy that says a room without a roof or whatever? That's not how rooms work. Rooms have a roof and a floor.
Right.
And I think that would be a non-starter. I think that's almost more of a non-starter than the cap is to the players. If you go to the owner and say, no, we're just putting in a floor.
Yeah.
You have to spend this much. And then everybody else can spend as much as they want. From the players, that's a boon. Because the rich owners, you know, the Red Sox, the Padres, Mets, Yankees, they'll still be spending a boatload of money. And now you just guaranteed that the Pirates and those teams are also spending more money.
Yeah.
So you just increase the value. So I get the mindset 100%.
Right.
100%. It's so infuriating. And you see this even in the NFL now, like these idea, how much does each team get right out the gates handed to them from the league, from TV, from revenue sharing, whatever. And it's like, wait, they're not spending that. Why are they not spending that? But I think it would be a non-starter with the owners for negotiating.
The only way that maybe you could try to entice them is you'd have to try to give them a projection of here is the revenue that the league would build in if you had 30 teams that were actively at least trying to field a competitive roster. Because this, it's kind of an analogy for life, but there's the argument that, oh, the middle class of MLB player is disappearing. You either have a rookie on a cheap contract or you have the most right. highly paid players in the league, and there's really nobody in between because those are kind of wasted dollars more times than they're not. So you could try to spin it in that way. I know it is very pie in the sky. I'm just so sick of seeing teams like the Pirates. And at the bottom, you have Minnesota, who now has Minnesota's $35 million on their roster. 26 guys, $35 million.
Nine of the 26 guys just arrived. They just got exactly. rid of most of their team, and they were close, apparently, to getting rid of Joe Ryan and others.
Right. Miami's at $38 million, and they barely traded anybody. I mean, you have four teams that are under even 50.
The Yankees just got swept by a $38 million team?
Yeah, yeah.
Ouch, babe.
And it wasn't even particularly close, and they
that leaves a mark.
Jazz Chisholm, by the way, made a nice little base running mistake, forgot how many outs there were. Ah, don't you love happens. When good things happen to good people? Other way around.
I saw Boone was chewing out his first base coach. The wheels aren't falling off the Yankees at all, are they?
Oh, no. Yankees. I didn't see any Yankees fans on Twitter saying, okay, so who's our manager going to be in 2026? Like,
not Cora anymore. We're keeping him.
Exactly.
He's staying.
Like,
you had that dream.
Have a lifetime contract to begin with. Okay, so that is my stance on Major League Baseball. Stiz will be jumping in to occupy our third and final spot. Stiz, are you ready?
I'll give it a rip, Daniel.
All right, your 60 seconds begin right now.
All right, last night, the past weekend at MetLife.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Stadium was the two-night SummerSlam event for the WWE. And I only watch a few of these events a year, mostly the bigger ones, the Rumbles, the Manias, the SummerSlams. And it was a great event. Jelly Roll showed up. More importantly, Travis Scott did not. Cody Rhodes beat John Cena and is now the new WWE champion again. However, yesterday before night two, the WWE announced that they would stop doing the post-event press conferences, which I always thought were ridiculous. It was Triple H trying to get his Dana White on, and you know, he'd be up there, they'd be asking the wrestlers like, oh man, did you have to dig deep to win? And it's like, it's make-believe. They knew what was going to happen. So I always thought it was a little ridiculous. So I'm happy they stopped these post-fight press conferences. But there may be a little more to the story, because last night after Cody Rhodes defeated John Cena, Brock Lesnar showed up. And he hasn't been around in 2 years. And for you guys that don't know, Brock was named in that lawsuit with Vince. So people think that that might be the reason that they wanted to stop these post-fight press conferences, because they didn't want questions about Brock Lesnar. But however, I don't care. I'm just happy that they were over, because it was ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're stupid. I never really understood them, because they were trying to straddle the line between it's a real press conference
yes.
and we're talking about real world, but then the storylines are woven in. And even the Brock Lesnar thing, there's multiple layers to that. Apparently they were planting seeds of misinformation with some of the blogs and various wrestling, Dave Meltzer newsletter, those places. So there's this whole thing where they've done it for years now. I think they call it kayfabe or something. There's
kayfabe.
Kayfabe. But it's this, like, they love that question of what's real, what is, and are these press conferences real? Are they not? I always thought they were stupid. I really do. I think wrestling fans are kind of simple. They want like stars, storylines, feuds, whatever. They want surprise appearances. I just thought that I'm with Stiz. I thought it missed the mark. I didn't think you needed that. I didn't think it added anything. And especially, who was attending them? Who was caring about them? It feels like this microscopic audience. Well,
and that was the funny thing. Like, real journalists were there, you know, and they would ask like these real sports questions, and to hear them try to answer. And like, Andy, you know, you mentioned the fans. We all know it's fake. We all know that the winner is predetermined. It just, you know, I get what they were trying to do once they signed the deal with TKO. But yeah, I'm just happy they put an end to these press conferences.
Although it does sound like it was quite a show with Paul versus Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
And Jelly Roll's a cool, like, the Paul brothers look like athletes. They're athletes.
Yeah, they
are. So for them to go from social media to the ring probably isn't big. A fat country singer lost weight and is now wrestling on the second biggest event of the year, third biggest event of the year for WWE, a two-night event. I think that's pretty cool. And I know he's likable for his history stiz of, you know, drug abuse and prison. And
I've heard his, I haven't been to a concert of his, but I've heard there, it's very much a spiritual thing.
Yes.
Like, you're loved here, you're appreciated here, all that kind of stuff.
And if you want to see something ridiculously impressive, he testified before Congress about drug use, opioids or something. I don't know what this, and it's one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
Wow, I haven't seen that.
He's a really versatile talent guy.
You know, the other thing I heard about Jelly Roll, Andy, and the weight. Awaken 180.
Really? I like it. That's alleged. I don't know if we're allowed to allege that, but
so
that is alleged.
Five more yards on his drives, or
absolutely,
whatever that ad read was that was told.
Five more feet on his choke slam when he picked up Paul and just drove him. He didn't have the flexibility to do that prior.
Specific to the press conferences, I was with you guys, and I'm not a huge wrestling guy, so I'm looking at it more like comparing what you see in sports versus what kind of goes on in more the entertainment realm there. It kind of felt a little lazy, almost. Like, to your point, you want rivalries, you want guys on the mic, in the ring, you want things that are just being storylines that are furthered by the matches themselves,
right,
and the commentary from the guys that's going on before and going after. So if you don't have engaging stories, you don't have engaging athletes, I guess you kind of have to use that as a crutch. Like, here's what I want you to hear.
I also think it was a part of the now defunct WWE Network, which was a standalone thing, and now it's kind of woven into Peacock, maybe?
Yeah.
Or wherever it is available.
Yeah.
I think it was content for their shows, their people, talk shows, posts. Now we can analyze. We obviously analyze Alex Cora's press conference. Well, if they have a post pay-per-view show on the WWE Network, they can analyze Hunter Henry's, Helmsley. What the hell is his name?
Triple H.
Hunter Hurst Helmsley.
I tried to go with the full name. Should have just stuck with the Triple
H
there.
Thank you.
And they could analyze that. There's less of those now, so they probably don't need it as much to kind of make it seem like a real sporting event.
They were going on McAfee and stuff. It was like kind of getting out of control.
And
it's weird.
I think Triple H was recently named, I don't know, director, I don't know how you call it, director of content, head of something else.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of seemed like just at large, the WWE kind of lost its way a little bit. Like when Vince was tied up in all the legal stuff and wasn't really as involved in the product before they named him that, they kind of went through a bit of a weird transition. So it seems like they are getting back to the roots of what they have been that fans love so much.
Oh, we could compare it to the New England Patriots. Sometimes when you have a dictator like Vince McMahon, it's easy. Like, we all know the buck stops at him. Whatever he says goes, whether we like the idea or not.
But whatever.
Bill Belichick, and then all of a sudden they got collaborative down in Foxborough. How'd that go? Not
bad.
Well.
Bad. Poorly.
Didn't end well for Bill, didn't end well for Gerard Mayo. Yeah. Now we have sort of a dictator again.
Right.
Mike Vrabel is a younger version of a dictator, so maybe Triple H is the new dictator, and he's the be-all, end-all for WWE again. All right, that's going to do it for the three-point stance today, boys. That was a very diverse one. Economics, WNBA, WWE.
It's summer. Let's have some fun with it.
It is still summer, but it's a summer that's going well here at Fenway Park for the Boston Red Sox. We've been reacting to that all show. Great weekend. But up next, we need to touch on the Patriots. They had their season ticket holder practice Friday night at Gillette Stadium. There was some good, but I would say there was more bad. And that's not great for the offense. That's not great for the vibe. We'll talk about that next with our buddy Mike Giardi here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox completed the series sweep over the Astros yesterday afternoon with a 6-1 win at Fenway Park. It's the first Red Sox series sweep against the Astros since April the 25th through the 28th of 2013. Boston is now 11 games over 500 for the first time in 3 years. They're in second place in the AL East, 3 games back of the Blue Jays and a game and a half up on the Yankees. The Red Sox begin a 3-game series against the Royals tonight at Fenway. First pitches at 7:10. Brian Baio will start for the Sox, and here is your lineup as Roman Gonzalez starts at second with Alex Bregman at third. Roman Anthony in right. Rob Refsnyder is your DH with Trevor Story at short. Zaydon Rafaela in center. Jaron Duran in left. Abraham Toro at first. And then Connor Wong is your catcher, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan begins at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. The Patriots completed day 10 of training camp earlier today. As announced by the team, the statue unveiling for Tom Brady on Friday is set for 6 p.m. The Patriots' preseason game against the Commanders will kick off at 7:30. From around the league, the Dolphins, the defensive tackle Zach Sealer agreed to a 3-year extension that makes him the team's highest paid defensive player. And the NFL Players Association has elected David White as its interim executive director 17 days after Lloyd Howell Jr. resigned. New Celtics minority owner Steve Pagliuca released a statement confirming an offer has been made to buy the WNBA's Connecticut Sun and move it out of Mohegan Sun Arena. He also said there were still approvals that had not been obtained from the league to this point. And Cameron Young became the 1,000th unique player to win a recognized PGA Tour event after winning the Wyndham Championship. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now with WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live from Fenway Park coming up right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.